3, 2, 1.
This is JP.
This is Dave.
This is Brian.
This is Justin.
This is Vito.
Hey, welcome to 619 Bearcast, episode 012.
That was very 12.
What's
that was
significant 12. That happens at 12?
It's 3 months. This is our 3-month anniversary.
Hair.
You had steps. 12 steps.
I don't know if I had hair when I was 12.
At
I
12 remember. Months?
I think you start listening. You start listening to Miley Cyrus when you're 12.
Oh God!
Oh, when you're 12 years old.
No, I think that happens when you're 6.
That was New Kids in the Block from my generation.
Oh, God. Isn't there anything else that happens when you're 12?
I wasn't listening.
I guess you just want to be 13 when you're 12.
Yeah.
Isn't that when's the because then you're a quinceañera
teenager.
That's it. Like
the quinceañeras. That would be
when
you're 15. That's when you're 15.
And the what? Girl. The what?
Quinceañero for the
quinceañeras.
Our Latin, our Spanish speaking audience. It's when they turn. It's like Sweet 16, but for the Latin world, Spanish world.
No.
Haven't you ever
never
watched
heard
Super
of that?
Sweet 16 on MTV?
You've never seen like the prom dresses with the cowboy boots?
You haven't seen the parties going on at the corner across the street from the Albertsons by my house. And that thing that used to be the bathhouse and is now a banquet hall. It's quinceañero every weekend.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what those are.
Crazy.
Yeah, they're big parties every weekend for that kind of thing. To get dresses. It's a whole thing. So anyway, how was everybody's... It seemed like a long weekend, I guess. Did everybody
it
have
did.
Friday off
it
and
did.
Stuff? And
I did.
Afternoon?
I did not. I had to work on Friday, but I had...
Oh, you had a long day on Friday, too, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I had it off in theory, sort of. I worked from home, so I did a lot of offing and less working.
A lot of getting off. Out.
Right. What happened on Friday? Did we do anything? Was Friday? What was Friday? Was Friday New Year's?
I know.
No. Well, let's talk about New Year's.
New Year's was Wednesday.
Oh, that's
Friday.
Right.
Friday we came over. Justin and Rob Helms and I came over here.
Oh, that's right. Games. We watched...
that was New Year's the day.
What did we do
that
on
was
Friday?
Thursday because I had to work.
Oh, wait.
I'm so glad we got our story straight.
Oh, no.
We started
the
party.
That's what it is. Okay.
Don't waste
now I remembered.
It was a really weird long weekend.
It
kind of started on Wednesday. And
the whole peppering
Sunday.
Of work sort of screws up everything.
Work really gets in the way.
But okay, no. So we did New Year's, and you guys all went to the most amazing, woofy, splash-terrific house party.
So it was totally awesome.
Booze and naked swimming and making out.
It was a
touching
pool,
penis,
typical San Diego style. It was a New Year's Eve pool party outdoors.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now, just for those listening, it's not that it's so warm outside, it's that it was a heated pool.
Yeah, it was freaking cold that night.
It was cold.
It dipped down to a nippy 54 degrees.
No, it was,
you know?
Yeah, but when you're naked in the pool and then you get out and you got to, because
you're
going to
go there's so many people in
cold.
Minnesota right now, they're just like, fuck you. Die.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Die. And you're, oh my God, I had to put on a sweater cape today to keep warm.
It was, for me, the party was pretty wild because, I mean, you. It was your typical party. You're there and you're having fun and everything. And like 12:01, probably what was it like 18 to 25?
Yeah, so there's like 18 to 25
people. You know, just strip off and we jump in the pool. It was a heated pool and really nice hot tub and stuff. Mm. And it was like the party just kind of was out some other place.
Well, no, it was weird because the steam coming off the pool kind of created like
That's what you thought. It was actually flash bulbs from everybody surrounding the pool. I heard it was like gladiator style. Like once everybody got in the pool, like the entire pool was surrounded with gawkers, just like
that's
what
it was.
What was doing?
We were a bunch of lurkers. I didn't. I was the driver for the guy, so I didn't drink. So I was.
So you didn't jump in the pool?
No. Well, I don't.
Pussy.
Well, there's something about the idea of getting in this nice warm pool and then having to get out in 40-degree weather.
Plus, it wasn't that bad.
Plus, I'm a grower, not a shower, so I'm not going to get the
pool. We've accomplished that.
That's no longer a valid excuse.
That's not an excuse anymore.
Once George Costanza said what shrinkage was on Seinfeld, it no longer became valid because now all women and men know exactly what shrinkage is. We all understand the concept.
I just want to be in the pool and think to myself, oh, God, I got to masturbate or something before I get out so that I don't look so
But anyway, gotta give it a couple of quick tugs.
A little prill.
And somebody stole my towels. I brought two. there's Isaac running around the house. Isaac, there's
the tech, the little blue figure in the window.
And just well, took off running.
Somebody stole my towels, actually. And I got out a couple times. And like,
what?
Yeah, I know. They were gone. I'm like, what the fuck? And now, then I was really pissed.
That's bullshit.
I know.
My towels.
Yeah, but did you have the turquoise blue and the light blue towels that everybody bought from Target so we all have the same towels?
That's actually, no. You know what? But that's okay. Actually, I brought a plain white towel because I knew that I probably was not going to see it once I set it down somewhere.
But the weird thing was, though, they showed up again at 2:30 when it was time for me to leave. They were right there.
Were they wet?
Yeah, because somebody somebody jumped in and didn't like anticipate the towel factor. So,
which is why I brought two towels in case somebody else needed one. But no, they still
that was resourceful.
Well, two people clearly needed towels. So I wasn't at that party because I was making money at PEX, working on the patio with Matt, and I would say. It was not as crowded as last year, clearly.
Which is very crowded.
Really?
I remember last year.
It was insanely crowded last year, like kind of crazy where people couldn't move. And this year it was just sort of, it wasn't like it was mellow. I mean, it was still very happening and, you know, lots of people. But you have to think 40% of our potential crowd for the evening was at that house. No, 150 people were at that house party.
Yeah.
It was
and
a
if
big
70
party.
Or 80 people from that house party went to PEX instead of that party, that would be a considerable impact on the bar.
You know, the sad thing, too, is I felt kind of bad because I was talking to Henry online. He said, oh, did you enjoy the party? I'm like, yeah, it was great. I hope it wasn't too big of a mess. He said, no, it took us about 5 hours to clean up and it was fine. I was like, oh, you poor thing. I said, I guess it's the plight of
it's
having
just
a party.
Vomit in plastic cups.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jello shot cups. It's like an Easter egg hunt, finding all those little Jello shot cups.
God, they made like 300 Jello shots.
So yeah, at midnight when you guys were all making out with each other, I had no one to make out with. I kissed no one at midnight. I went inside and gave Jasper a kiss and Eloy a kiss because there was no one to kiss.
The making out didn't happen right away. Yeah, it was probably about 12:30 or so. Whatever.
That's not true. I kissed people right at midnight.
Yeah, at midnight you're kissing people.
Yeah, but that was
no, you were. Just
first
shut
person
up.
I kissed
just
at midnight.
You
was
JP, first person I kissed JP at midnight made out with like half the people that were at the party. So
the first person I kissed at midnight was a stranger.
Yeah, so there was a lot of making out. I know that because I've pretty much interrogated every single witness that was at the party.
Oh shit!
So I have a total understanding.
So you probably know.
I have like
made
you
up.
Know like in Batman where he has like that screen of like you know the picture of the cell phone,
all the different.
Totally know between photographic evidence and firsthand details. I know exactly what everybody was doing.
Okay, so after the podcast, you have to tell me who I made out with, because I know those people.
And that thing that you posted on your blog, was that because Gary Cotti was going around and asking everybody 1 to 10, how was your year? Was that what spurred that? Because he was asking everybody that.
Oh, you mean talking about like my
1
year
to 10,
sucked,
how was your
then,
year, yeah.
Yeah, because I told him mine was like a 7. And then when I thought about it, I'm like, you know, the vibe of the year sucked. Yeah. But overall, I mean, a lot of cool things happened this year, and I really can't complain, nor should I.
You got to go to India. I mean, wow.
Oh, God. That's
great. But, okay. But that's a great example of what my year was like. I got to go to India to outsource all the people that work for me.
Right.
So they all got laid off.
Yeah.
Right. So, yay, I got to go to India.
Yeah, you're the
so
man.
So I could train the people to replace the people that have been working for me loyally for years.
Yeah,
that's true. So that's 2008 in a nutshell.
Bittersweet.
Right.
Everything in
it's
2008
like this weird
was like that.
Bittersweet.
Yeah.
It was the two-faced coin, you know?
It was. It totally was.
It was.
So yeah. Did the cat take a shit? I swear. I just have it on my brain now. It's like I'm going to smell
right
it forever.
Here.
It's almost like we can't get the podcast going until the cat takes a dump. but Matt and I did douse each other with champagne, like Girls Gone Wild style. And then we totally killed our entire crowd on the patio by dousing the whole crowd with champagne. Because we had all these little champagnes to give out. And people took like a sip and then put them back on the bar. So Matt and I were just picking them up like squirt guns and just dousing the crowd. And so, because we're almost done by then anyway. Because we closed the patio, you know, at
it was like
1:30.
Sticky mess. It really is.
Yeah, but who cares? We were just like, fuck it. Because actually, last year, I made the stupid mistake of getting a massage on New Year's Eve. And it wiped me out. And then I went to the bar, and I was just like, fuck this night. Fuck everything. I don't want to do anything. I'm tired and grouchy and blah, blah, blah. And I never got into it. And it was, you know, I survived and everything. But this year, I was like, I drank my Monster. I was doing
like,
shots. I was even drinking beer while I was working, which I never do. And I was having a good time.
Well, it sounds like you had a good time in spite of the party. Better not making it to the party.
There were some people, a few people showed up before the party, and that's what made it work. So anyway. So that was New Year's. And then, I went to Palm Springs this weekend, and that was cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Looked like it.
Had a good visit. Yes, definitely. Went to see my buddy Cliff, and that was very nice.
He cooks.
He does. Yes. He made me
and he
breakfast.
Likes Buffy.
And he loves
and
Buffy.
He likes Buffy.
Yes. He took you in and made you breakfast.
We had biscuits and gravy and scrambled eggs and sausage and orange juice.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Oh, my God.
And he lives next door to a celebrity. He lives next door to Cheetah from the Tarzan movies.
Oh, Cheetah was still alive.
Yeah. So that was, it was pretty cool. And then Daryl and Mike came and hung out, too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was super cool. I hadn't actually, like, hung out with just Daryl and Mike before, and that was a lot of fun.
They are good guys.
That was funny about the New Year's party because I ran into Mike. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah. Is Daryl here? Oh, yeah, he's up with the thing. And I saw Mike like three more times before I saw Daryl. It was like 2 hours before I saw Daryl. Yeah. And I was like, you are actually
I heard that
here.
From a couple other people where it's like, I know that some people were at that party, but I never saw them.
Yeah, well, no, like, I've seen pictures and I'm like, they were there? Like, I never saw them.
Which
like
is the mark of a fucking awesome party.
Well, it's the mark of a big party, too. Yeah. And the way the space is, where the pool is, like this pool, there's like an area around the pool. Then there's like a couple of different gazebo areas down below and next to the house. Then there's then there's inside the house. Then, you know, there's so many places you can be. Yeah. So,
the only thing that was crazy is that you had all those people in one bathroom.
Yeah, well,
the but the side of the house is a urinal.
The side of the house.
Well, it was.
Yeah. And I'm not joking. That side of the house is a urinal. They ask you to go to the side of the house and pee there.
Well, the other thing, I got a message from someone on Bear 411 that said, oh, it was nice seeing you at the party. Someone I had chatted with before, and I was like, I don't remember seeing you. And I wasn't drinking, so I couldn't have been drunk and not remembered him. And I was like, oh.
They're probably up in a tree with a, you know.
And I said, well, you should come by and said hi and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, well, I'm really shy and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, please, I'm totally approachable.
So all you guys online that do that I'm really shy bit, and then you talk to somebody later with an I am online.
Man.
Fucking grow a pair. God, so tiresome. Okay, you know,
there you go.
That was how I felt today. Tomorrow I'll probably be like, it's really cute, and, you know, it's no big deal. Go ahead and I am me later. But come on.
Well.
Especially if you're cute. I mean, you know.
This is true.
Don't waste time.
Well, if they're cute, then you go talk to them.
Well, that's the thing. I always, it's funny, because Cliff and I were talking about that over the weekend. I always feel like I'm doing all the work. Mm. I'm always the one who approaches. At least it feels like that. I feel like I'm always the one who's approaching people.
That time at PAX where they were all sitting on the one side of the bar and I was sitting there waiting for like Todd, TJ, and Bill to show up, and you're like, oh, you know, don't you know those guys over there? I'm like, oh, yeah, I sort of do. He's like, well, go over and talk to them. And I'm like, eh, I don't know. And then you got them. You went over and said something to them, and then they're all chanting my name.
Oh,
like,
dude,
these people I hardly knew.
If I'm,
and I was like,
if I'm behind the bar, I'm a total instigator. I will totally stir up shit.
But it was nice. And
well, I just never understand. You know, it's like, come on. I mean, just,
well, you're nervous. You don't know how people are. Yeah. How people are going to act.
Fuck people. To you. I have no time for people.
There you go.
Star Wars.
Well, no, I mean,
says the man who's in.
The worst that could happen is they just don't talk to you, or they just don't seem interested. And then you just walk away and you go do something else. I mean,
but I hate to put myself out there, so I don't.
No, I understand. There was a guy who came in, who was at the bar a couple of weeks ago, and you could tell that he was just. Mm. Overwhelmed, there's too many bears, and a lot of people that you probably recognize, but he totally, you know, grew a sack. He came up, said hello, and you know, we were talking a little bit, and I could tell that it was just like his mind was just, you know, going over and over.
Overload.
And then I just remembered, like, you know what, I totally know how that is. I know how that feels. And it is tough. It's totally tough. Especially when you see a big fucking gaggle of bears all doing their thing. And,
right,
you know,
and they're all friends and they're all thing. It's nerve-wracking.
It is. It's like those, I always think of the elephants in Dumbo. You know, when they like, when they ostracize Dumbo and all their butts like come together.
I think
and
I'm about
like,
to take offense at this, but hold on.
You know, because it's like an impenetrable wall of, well, anyway.
Their tails
I just see that. Like, you can imagine like the bears is like, okay, well, we don't want her over here. And the butts come together and just totally seal off that area or whatever. I don't know. Somebody out there understands what
I'm
saying.
But no, I think in general, I mean, people in large groups, especially a large group of friends, like hanging out, laughing, having a good time.
Right.
Like if you see somebody that's cute in that crowd, it's always very intimidating.
Well, so, you don't know if one of them is their boyfriend.
You don't know if one of them is their boyfriend.
That's why you got to throw the eye. You throw the eye, and if you get the eye back, then game on. Yeah,
but does that mean anything with open relationships and everything else that goes on nowadays?
It means that you at least have a get-out-of-jail-free pass. Then. You can at least come up and say, and if somebody gives you a bunch of static, you'd be like, well, then stop fucking looking at me.
Right.
Which is great. Which is very healthy. It's very healthy to go up to a stranger and be like, hi. And they're like, eh, whatever. You're like, don't look at me anymore.
Well, it's funny, actually, because
I was looking at the poster behind you, or I was looking at that like drunk tranny next to you.
Well, it's funny because my ex is actually dating someone now that when we were together, I used to call I fuck guy because like from across the bar, he would be totally like I fucking my ex. I'd be like, He's like, oh, he's just looking, and I'm looking back. What's the big deal? I'm like, he's totally eye-fucking you. And it's
and
like...
dating.
Right, and now they're, well, now they're nice. Dating after
well,
someone
of course,
else.
Because, you know, eventually
well,
they get
that just developed recently,
other.
Actually. But yeah, he's because he's part of the same group of friends. So now... So.
Nice. Very, very nice. But so anyway. That was the new year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and then it was pretty much just a regular... I relaxed this weekend. I didn't do crap just because I... Mm-hmm. All the holidays and everything, just go, go, go. I just...
Yeah.
I chilled out.
Amen. I slept more than I can't remember how I slept. And I felt bad because I felt like I was wasting the day, but I thought, you know what? I'm friggin' recharging and just getting ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I gave in to my consumer horrorism and I bought an Xbox, right like on. I said, I wasn't going to do. I think I was, yeah, I think you can actually quote me from the last podcast as saying, yeah, I think I'm going to get an Xbox sometime this year, you know? Right. And I feel like 4 days into the year, but, you know, what can I say? And, you know, now I'm like totally into Castle Crashers. You know, instead of going over to Mike's to play with Mike and Rob Helms, now I actually just put on my headphones and play with them.
And what was that today? You were a hater or something or something? And that
oh, no, because I was talking shit about Castle Crashers, this game that they're totally in love with. I mean, yeah. Mike sends it flowers, you know, he likes it that much. And once I got a chance to play a little bit by myself... Mm-hmm. And sort of figure out the mechanics of the game, then I started to like it. But see, when you're playing with them, it's like melee button smashing, and you're like, yeah, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, see, that's what I got to do, because for me right now, it's also just button mashing, and I'm not really
it's totally fun, because you learn how to block, and you get little combos, and it's actually a really cute game. I dig it. Matt and I played today, and, you know, we're like freaking geeks, so we sat down, and we played for a real, cool. And that was cool. So yeah, so I guess we kind of have like a bigger topic to talk about.
Should we fade to our topic?
Yes, we should fade to our topic. And this is kind of dedicated to, like, there's at least three people that have brought it up. In fact, somebody did on my live journal, and I'm sorry, I can't remember their name.
Requested.
Off the top of my head, asked about us to talk about our coming out stories.
Mm, right.
And we all know that Kim, who doesn't want to date JP because he's too old.
I will.
Kim specifically requested that we talk about coming out stories and just our experiences with coming out and... I'm totally not out myself. Nobody knows except for the guys at this table and the guys that I've touched in the last 20 years.
Gee, that narrows it down.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to Vito's first, because Vito sent us his.
Yes.
Vito is not with us tonight, but he sent us his coming out story.
Because Vito is gay.
Very. Age 26 and 30, I really got a sense of self. When I came out at 30 and I came out strong. I had looked at magazines and I found one that just didn't seem so foofy, and that was Pistons in Long Beach. And I went about three or four nights before Christmas and sat on the bar stool, just said to myself that if anybody attacked me, I would leave. I'd be close to the door, right? Well, what happened was, as I ended up getting a pitcher of beer and going out on the patio, and the place filled up with people, and I drank a lot, and I started walking around to everybody and telling them that I'd never been in a gay bar before, and I started talking to these group of people, and I told them I didn't know, you know, what gay people live like, and they actually invited me to their home. I saw a newsletter on their table from Bears LA, and history there. I ended up being on the board and did all sorts of stuff. But, they, you know, I learned that, and this was age 30 and I'm 43 now, that, you know, that gay people are just like everybody else. I'm still friends with them. I go to their house. It's Frank and Dean. I go to their house for Super Bowl parties and other parties and try to stay in touch with them, even though I'm terrible at that. But I'll always have a place in my heart for them. When my parents found out, this was back when I had a pager. It was the last remnants of the days when pagers were cool. And the my pager goes off, and I just tricked with who's now a guy, Brian, who's now a friend. And he, I listened, you know, and I listened to the, I called and listened to the message from the pager. And it was from my mom. I had spent a night there. It was closer to where I was going, which was the Mr. Southern California Bear Contest in L.A. And I left a newsletter from Bears Ventura on the desk, accidentally, at my parents' house. So this was the message from my mom. I'll do my best. This is your mother. We found the newsletter from the Bear group, so it looks like you're gay. We just want you to know that we love you and wear two condoms.
That's almost verbatim. So anyway, those are my two coming out stories to my parents and kind of to myself.
It's great that Vito said he wanted to avoid somewhere foofy.
Foofy.
Because clearly people who use the word foofy are masculine and butch.
You knew foofy. Yeah. Well, I have a funny story kind of relating to this brochure thing. What you call it? When we first moved to Germany, we were staying at my ex's house, my ex-in-law's parents' house. And I had ordered some porn, and then the porn company sent a catalog, like, in a year after we moved, in, like, this plain brown envelope, and they just assumed it was junk mail. Eventually, my ex's stepfather opened it and found this porn catalog, and his mother sent a message.
And if it was a German porn catalog, it probably had, like, all the really hardcore shit in
it. I know, right?
It was from American.
Well, then,
it was from DG.
So, coming out. So, now we know Vito's story. So do we want to talk about, like, when we knew, as opposed to, like, when we actually came out? So. I think so.
When we knew when first, you knew or just first, blending one into the other?
When you first kind of knew.
Yeah. I mean, when did you know about yourself?
I can go back, and there are things that happened in my life when I was, like, five, where... Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of what happened to me early on was just that sort of, you know, kids are kids, and they're inquisitive, and, they're, you know, I'll show you yours, you show me mine, or, you know, do whatever. And because, I mean, I was even listening to Howard Stern once, and they basically were very upfront about their lives. And it turned out that, like, of the 20 men on the show, like 17 had done something that would be quote unquote gay when they were a kid.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's just what you, you know.
Well, it's body curiosity. A lot of it's body curiosity.
Right.
So I'm
going to
kind of skip over that. I mean, because, you know, I do remember, I think the first time I was even charged up by a penis, you know, was my dad, the minister. Put your earmuffs on, Dad, if you're ever listening to this. But the Methodist minister actually had a subscription to Playboy, which should have been assigned to my mom early on that the marriage wasn't going to work out. But I don't know. But anyway, I was looking through the issues, you know, because that's what boys do when they're young, right?
Yeah.
And then I came along, it was, oh my God, it's almost hilarious, because it was Christopher Atkins, you know, from Blue Lagoon.
Oh my God.
He did a spread with a girl, the girl who did, was Brooke Shields' titty double in Blue Lagoon.
Titty double.
So he was naked. They were going down, like, this, you know, water slide rock thing. And his penis is there. And I can remember, I kissed it. And I was probably, like, 6 or 7.
The picture in the magazine?
I kissed the picture in the magazine.
The picture or the penis?
It actually left, like, a little wet mark on the magazine.
That is sick.
I started young. It's not sick.
I know, that's sick. I mean, sick, like, wow.
I know,
nutty.
It is. It's crazy. But I remember that, and I remember watching movies. Well, definitely, like, Grizzly Adams, you know, obviously, everybody, you know. Mm. And I remember Merlin Olsen, you know, from Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, wrestling God, episode so of Little House on the Prairie.
Hot. Big brown beard and just, you know, great accent.
Every sitcom, every TV show had a wrestling episode. Theirs was, what do you call it? He wrestled. What you call it? Yeah. Merlin Olsen.
He was super hot.
Yep.
But then I remember realizing, like, the gay part. This was because that was all infatuation and just, you know, not even knowing what it was.
Right.
But I remember watching the movie Caveman. Have you guys ever seen that with Ringo Starr?
Yes.
So in Caveman, there were gay characters. And everybody in that movie had a beard, which works out well. Yeah, there were two gay cavemen, and they were holding hands. And I remember wanting to know, like, why was that a big deal? And my parents, you know, said, oh, well, they're men that like other men. You know, and they I didn't even know what sex was at that point.
Right.
But it stayed with me. And then also the Police Academy movie, you know, is world famous for the Blue Oyster Bar, where the cops go into the gay bar, and it was all the leather men.
Horribly cliche leather.
Well, but that's the whole thing, though, was that it was sort of setting me up, because, you know, you had, like, Jack Tripper on freaking Three's Company, and you had Billy Crystal on Soap, and, you know, those were all the effeminate, you know, gay portrayals. But then every time I saw a guy that had facial hair that was portrayed or seen to be gay, that resonated and sort of stayed with me, you know, for whatever reason, you know, and maybe we can do a whole, you know, episode on Freudian rationale behind bear fetish or whatever. That definitely all stayed with me. And then I think, going into, like, the 9th grade, I went to summer camp, and one of the counselors was this fucking burly guy. And of course everybody showers together when you're in camp. And I was like, I had no idea that was what a cock was going to end up looking like. I was just, like, blown away. I can still, like, see it in my head. I can, like, picture the entire shower room.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, I think everybody wrestles all through high school, all through junior high and high school. it was just a wrestling match, an emotional wrestling match, because every time I would jerk off, I would think about things that I had done when I was younger. And this includes, like, you know, there was a next door neighbor kid who had, you know, played with me one night, and it was consensual, you know. And I'd think about that over and over and over and over again. And I'd think, like, how could I make that happen again? And use that as, like, inspiration. Right, and then when you finally do... I mean, I still remember the first time I came. And I'm not going to get into the details because it's very involved and involves people that don't need to be spoken about in a podcast. But I will say that I had no idea that that is what was supposed to happen. And it was all over me. Like, just, like, somebody had taken, like... Like, two girls, one cup. It was like a shake of cum had been, like, poured all over my chest.
Oh, my God.
Because I think it's, like, I had been fooling around for, like, probably 6 months with no results other than painful penis,
you
know?
Is this where we pause for applause? Is that where we get applause so the audience
blue
balls?
Yeah, I was just getting blue balls. Yeah. So it was kind of like a thing of glue, you know, how it gets, like, the solid cap on top. And when you finally, like, give enough pressure and it just goes...
Oh,
it was huge. And I just remember the person who, you know, got that me to do that. He goes, "What a mess!" Like, afterwards. And then, like, we just, like, put the sheets away and never talked about it again.
Now,
you know?
Did you hide things that in your mind were porn, like, you know, whatever, like pictures of guys or things like that or whatever, that if anybody found, like, maybe your mom found or whatever, that they would think, "Oh, well, this is nothing. This is just a magazine or whatever." Oh. But to you, it was hardcore.
Guys in sexy underwear.
Softcore porn? Yes.
Like, jockey underwear and stuff?
No.
Sears catalog guys. Like, I always had, like...
And those bulges all
over
there.
I would clip out the guys in their tidy whities, like, and they always had... It was always, like, the dad figure.
Yeah.
That had, like, the hairy chest or whatever. Oh, yeah. Just kind of, like snip them out and put them in a little drawer, you know?
I used to remember my good friend in high school. I was at his house, and I was looking through family photos, and there was a photo of his dad shirtless that they were at a campground, and I totally pocketed the photo.
Dude.
Because it was a stack of photos. Dude, I was a mess. You know, you're a mess when you're that.
Yes.
Right. I don't know about you guys, but really, it drove me to do crazy shit.
Well.
Like having all that baby batter on the brain. And I took it home, and I cut him out of the photo, and I put him on a piece of paper, and I drew in the rest and drew like a big fat cock and stuff. And,
oh my God.
Well, I broke my ankle over that kind of stuff. What happened to me was, I guess the one thing that really triggered with me really early was wrestling. Was watching wrestling and guys wrestling in those tight tights and those muscular bodies. And back then they were hairy, and back then they were all over each other. And I used to check out books on wrestling from the library. Mm-hmm. Well, I was 13 years old. I mean, it started long before this, but when I broke my ankle, I was 13 years old. And I had a book that was overdue from the library. And the first thing they did, like the day the book was overdue, they sent postcards to your house saying that the book was overdue. And I used to sneak these books home and hide them. Like, my mother didn't know I was renting these, you know, taking these books out of the library.
Right.
So I had this book, and I was like, oh, shit, it had to get back to the library, right? So, I mean, I wasn't supposed to be leaving the house. So it was like 9 o'clock at night. So I snuck out of the house, got on my bicycle with this book to ride down to the library and return it. So it would be there in the morning to stop the postcard from coming out.
Wow.
Riding home, I was spazzing out because I was afraid of getting caught from having gone out or whatever, and with this book, because it was all so secretive, you know what I mean?
But it's porn.
You know what I mean? Right, it's like, you know, why is this kid who doesn't wrestle checking out this book? Oh, the illegal hold section alone was worth. Oh, anyway,
there's a reason why his handle is Pinner.
I'm riding my bike home, and I'm like really paranoid or whatever about getting back home. And I stand up to pedal hard or whatever, and I sit down, and the seat on my bicycle had broken. Was broken. It was sort of rigged together.
And that's why you became a bottom.
I sat down exactly. And it was a surprise. Now,
two things were broken that day: his cherry and his ankle.
Exactly. So I sat down. The seat was missing from the bicycle. So obviously I missed it. I fell. My foot got caught under the pedal, and I broke my ankle.
Oh, that's hilarious!
And it was like a nightmare. So like the neighbors put me in their car and brought me home. God. So I had to ring the doorbell at my house. Like, oh, he's out riding his bicycle. My mother's like, I thought he was upstairs. Like, what the heck were you doing? And I was like, oh, I had a book to go back to the library. And she's just like, could wait till tomorrow. Like, why didn't you tell me you went out? And I was all upset. And I had to go to the hospital. We had to call my dad.
Oh my god!
So my dad was like, "What were you doing out?" And I was like, "Oh, I was just riding my bike to return a book at the library."
Case, like, your parents probably didn't know, but there were times where I knew my mom must know something as well.
Yeah.
Where my excuses are so lame, like
kids aren't good
like
liars.
Masturbating like on the bed in like the guest room, and then like I left like a little stain, and then my mom was like, "What's a stain on the thing?" And I'm like, "Oh, I spilled root beer in there." And she's like, "I know. What are you doing?"
It was crystal root beer.
What are you doing sitting on the guest bed? You know, I was like, "Oh, I was reading a book," and you know, it's just like You know, and I know in her head she's just like, oh God, he's at that age. He's probably, you know, humping everything that moves.
What was the porn to you, JP? JP, Justin. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at JP's over there.
I know.
No, for me, like, it was like I said, like the magazine, like the underwear models, mm-hmm. stuff like that, that triggered it. But I mean, even very young, like I had, you know, I grew up with like the like Family Ties like era, that thing. So like
totally, me too.
Alan Thicke, I had the biggest crush on Alan Thicke.
He had hairy chest.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a Canadian accent.
It was just like growing the hairy chest, growing pains. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying that era.
No, I understand.
Like, you know, just like seeing his hairy chest, like any guy that had like, and like actually this is totally going out here, but I had a crush on Coach too, the guy,
Craig T. Nelson.
I had a thing for Jerry Van Dyke. Actually, that was the first time I ever masturbated to a guy was watching Coach.
You're kidding?
It was watching Coach on TV. Wow. And he was
filmed before a live audience.
He was running around shirtless.
Oh, and I
was just like,
he had quite a body,
just like totally.
See, me was Cheers and Cliff on Cheers. Yes. Oh my God, when they had
the
Cliff Clavin. Oh,
really?
He wears a uniform, he has an accent, he has facial hair, and he's an older, like, kind of chubby guy. I mean, boom, boom, boom. What's not the
life? That's just where
I've always had to think for him until I realized recently that he's, like, a total conservative Republican, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
He's one of those idiots. Anyway, I won't get into that.
Well,
yeah.
For me, TV guys was Tom Selleck. Oh, my God. That big furry chest and that mustache.
He's
and that
too
little,
gay for me, though.
Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, no. My God. Filthy things. I would have let him
really?
Do
that.
Because he had a nice chest,
Cocoon?
But not like...
See, if I watched Cocoon, I would have been after the grandfather body. Who did the oatmeal commercial.
Wilford Brimley.
He was hot. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Well, there are people out there who
it's
are like...
It's diabetes, for God's sakes. No.
Yeah, but there's something like Wilford Brimley. Well, it's not as bad as... who is it? People who have like crushes on like Ed Asner. I mean, he's like
he's
as
hairy.
Old as time.
He's a hairy motherfucker. Though.
Maybe back in the day he was hot.
But who's the one that I can't think? I don't like
David.
The Scottish one that was Bond, James Bond.
Daniel Craig.
No, older James Bond.
Oh,
a hairy guy.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. Yes.
No, you know I can ruin Sean Connery for everybody right now. Go and watch Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and look at Sean Connery's lips.
No.
They're like two slices of liver, and he's always licking them, and they're always slightly moist. It is the most disgusting thing you will ever see, and you can never unsee it.
I just puked a little bit out here in the description. I can't imagine.
No. Every time he goes, Junior, and it's just like, ugh. It's
well, and
gross.
Then the other one that you probably like, that you probably would like, Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, well, Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, Bob Hoskins. Yeah.
I think all gay men by default.
My friend Eric.
And, you know,
Ireland
when, what's his name, when that movie came out and he was naked in it, it was just like a gay field day. I think everybody took a day off work to do capture stills from the DVD when it came out. I'm curious.
What movie?
Mrs. Henderson Presents.
Okay.
Yeah, he's naked in that. Oh, yeah. You can Google
and then,
that shit.
And then the first time I actually like messed around with another guy or whatever, it was in junior high. I was 14.
Wow. Those are so far ahead of me.
And
dude, I was. Yeah.
And he was this heavy set guy with a hairy chest, and I was just like,
boy,
I was all over it. We actually.
Wait, no. How old were you? How old was he?
He was 14.
Oh, two. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And we actually stayed back. It was after gym class, and so we stayed back in the showers.
This is like ABC After School Special. Was there a
we stayed back in the showers.
Justin
and we messed around in the showers.
Oh my
God. Just came, and then the teacher came back in and was like, "What are you guys doing?" We're like, "Oh, like we made some excuse like about like we dropped like because we had our towels on and the water was off." Yeah. And we're like, oh, he dropped his contact or something, like, we're looking for it or whatever. Like, we just made up some excuse.
And he was wearing glasses.
Yeah, and he was just like, all right, hurry up or whatever. And we were just like, whoo.
Wow.
But yeah,
God,
totally,
if you're the
like,
teacher, what do you do with that?
And the teacher was hot, too. He was this little bear guy, too.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started about PE teachers.
Oh, my God.
Swim coach. I used to fantasize about my swim coach for days.
My middle school gym teachers. One was like, they were like the opposites of each other. One was like, was blonde and like had like feathered hair and furry. The other one was... and a mustache. The other one was brown hair with a mustache, but a more like crop thing. And they both had huge hairy chests. They were like body, not bodybuilder quality, but like more than normally fit
guys.
And oh God, I used to dream about the two of them wrestling together. I was like,
oh. What about you, JT?
Well, I was going to ask you first. When did you know about you?
I just, I don't know. I don't really have. I can't think of any one defining moment. Like, I've just kind of always.
What, 14-year-old moments aren't pretty defined?
Not even. No. When did you think to yourself in your head, I am gay? Not, or, I'm attracted to men, when you were like, I'm gay. Like, because that's like
when
a step.
When I was like. Well, like. When I was 14, like, probably.
Like, you actually thought, I'm gay. You didn't even.
Yeah, because I.
You didn't even
didn't
think about, maybe I want to try being straight or I'm going to mess around with it. You're just like, I'm gay. So all through high school, you're like, I'm gay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, see, that's not how I was at all.
Did that affect your high school experience?
It did. Especially, I went to a private school. So it was extremely.
Well, see, but that takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Was it a private school with no girls?
Private Baptist school.
Yeah, but no girls.
No, there's girls.
Oh, there's girls. Okay. There's if you take the girls out of the equation, then you're ace free, because you don't have to worry about, like, putting on a show or going to prom or whatever.
No, there was girls, but, you know, it was definitely, like, I was just like, no, I'm not interested. You know, I never really, like, came out and told anybody at school, but, you know, I met my first boyfriend there, so it's...
Yeah. You were running the drama department by the time you were in eighth grade, right?
Actually, I was in the chorus.
Drama. Okay. There you go.
It was funny, in high school, like, I can remember the girl...
And football, though.
The girl, the girl I went out to winter formal with, the two guys that asked her out, and she eventually went with me. Mm-hmm. But the two guys that asked her out were both ended up being gay.
Nice.
I'm like, God, how much she feel?
She had the curse of the pink wand.
She was totally curse like the girl that the guys ask out. You know,
How masculine was she? My God,
she was cute.
All the gay dudes are asking.
In the band, I don't know. Ugh, that was just such a mess, like, being in high school and, like, you know, not really knowing what you're supposed to do. Like, trying to do what you're supposed to do, which is, you know, go to the winter formal and, you know, ask out girls.
Mm-hmm.
I never did the asking out girls part because we always hung out in a group. I can even remember. I think my mom even rationalized that way. She's always like, you have such a great group of friends, you know, that you guys can all go and do all these things together and this and that. Mm-hmm. And that always seemed to kind of work, you know, for her. It probably worked for her, at least.
Right.
You know,
she's
probably
right.
Like, oh, he's probably doing stuff with girls. But it's all in that big group of people, you know. And in the meantime, I'm just like, you know, dear God, I won't be gay. Or, if you don't get mad at me for doing this, I'll do this. And I'm making deals and ridiculous. So what about you, JP? You were kind of a late bloomer, right?
No,
early
bloomer.
Oh,
God, early bloomer.
Oh, that's right. You were in a band, so. So did you have sex with every person that was in the band with you?
Flock of Pelicans?
No, just one of them.
Okay. I'm not
going to talk about it then. But no, I see. Actually, well, one of the things is
Lindsey Buckingham.
It's the drummer. It's the drummer, wasn't it? It's always the drummer. They're trouble. Stay away from them. You know what a penis is, Peggy Sue?
Yeah, it was.
Stay away from it.
So, well, actually, no. I mean, I first had suspicions about myself because, as you know, we grew up in Europe. And
where everyone's gay.
Right.
On the other side.
Everyone's
of the road.
A little bit gay.
The one thing in my mind that I remember is when we moved from Europe to the United States, we came across on the QE2, which is an ocean liner. So it was like 5 days on the ocean in this huge floating city. I mean, the thing was just gigantic. There were seven swimming pools.
Yeah, Hyacinth Bouquet goes across the ocean
huge.
On the
QE2. Yes.
Bucket.
I mean. An ocean liner, I guess.
Yeah, it was an ocean liner. Huge. I mean, it's huge. Seven swimming pools, three movie theaters. I mean, it was
the
just
Queen
just
Elizabeth
gigantic.
Too.
See, yes.
We know.
The QE2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, but most of the pools, except the one that's in first class, were all saltwater pools. The first class one was freshwater. So I'm in a pool with this kid who is about my age.
And that made you gay?
In the freshwater
pool?
Stop. Were you in steerage? Did you meet a boy from steerage?
I just want to understand.
I
need to understand why freshwater was like so funny.
His own gay Titanic.
Because there's some little straight boy listening to this right now. He's like, okay, if I swim in freshwater, I'll be gay. I'll stay in saltwater pools.
And then he wishes for a plentiful of unicorns.
So we were in the saltwater pool, and when you're in a saltwater pool, you have to shower when you get out of there because you're covered in salt. It's gross. So after the boy, it was just
as
this
opposed
pool.
To being covered in chlorine, which isn't gross.
Whatever.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was in.
Why is it every time JP tells a story, I have to completely take it apart?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I need to shut up.
Are we gonna start singing a story now?
I'm gonna put my hands underneath my legs.
JP's in the freshwater pool.
Oh yeah, you will.
And it's all salty.
No, I'm not going to do that. Don't open that door.
All right.
Okay.
But, so I was...
you're in the freshwater pool with a little boy.
No, saltwater pool.
Saltwater pool.
Saltwater pool.
A little boy.
With another boy. He was about my age. He was about my age.
And you were how old?
Nine.
Nine.
Okay. Wow.
Was it the Titanic? Mm-hmm. I'm just.
But the boy was staying in steerage, and they had to come up and get him and bring him.
You
out
jump,
of the pool.
I jump.
His name was His name was Jack.
And then Unsinkable Molly Brown invited you all to dinner.
JT's middle name is Rose.
Oh my God. It was a ship of a dreams, but it was a nightmare.
We need to get it all over the system.
Point, okay. No, seriously. The point of it was, we're standing in the shower and we're showering together. And I kept thinking in my mind, I kept wishing and wishing and wishing him for him to take his swimsuit off.
Did he?
No. And I kept thinking, and that was the thing, though, is that I remember him, wishing him to take the swimsuit off and thinking in my mind,
a boy's libido
I wonder,
is as deep as the ocean.
I wonder if I can bring him over to my way. Pretty much. Yeah. Seriously.
You were converting at that age.
I was 9 years old, and I was thinking, trying. I wonder if I can bring him over to my age.
JP wanted the microwave before the microwaves were invented.
Exactly. So that really, that was the first time in my mind that, looking back on it now, that I actually realized that I was a little different.
Hmm. Well.
then you bought a
Saturn. Hey.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that was the first thing. And that's, are there any episodes or things like that that you guys remember? Is there anything like that early on where you first had the inkling thinking,
I remember,
you know, not everybody's like this, and I know not everybody's like this.
Well, I know for me, when I was a kid, I can still remember, this is Saturday morning, this is at the freaking parsonage, you know, which is what they call where the minister lives, and a friend of mine had slept over, and we were watching Saturday morning cartoons, and
Ace and Gary came on?
No, it was, we were just being silly, like kids are silly, and we were wrestling around and stuff. And when he wrestled onto me, we kind of did like this pelvic thrust sort of thing, you know, and it was like, and it was charged. And so then it was like, there was definitely, you know, it was just one of those moments where we were like, and then it was next thing we know, we were almost like pretending like we were adults, like we were kind of grabbing into each other. And it was one of those things where like, I think he realized first that whatever we're doing is there's more to it than this and that we shouldn't be doing it. And I was like, whatever we're doing, there's more to it than this. We should totally be doing it. And that was like the sort of the problem. And then he stopped. And I think,
you know,
I
there's
think,
wine. There's wine in this parsonage somewhere. Well, no. It's a church. Come on,
sorry about instilling guilt at a very early age. This person is actually one of my best friends ever, but he would almost torture me when we were young by saying like, well, if you, you know, if you don't do this, I'm going to tell everybody, you know, what we did. Like,
that little douchebag.
Oh my gosh.
You know what the thing is though? I mean, kids are fucking
kids
disgusting.
Are ruthless.
They're just ruthless and ugly. And you know, long story short, the person who did that is still one of my very best friends, one of the most amazing people you'll ever meet. But he was also a dopey kid, you know, and so was I. But from that, you know, happens when you're like, what, like 7, 8 years old? Yeah. I mean, it stays with you. So every time you do that, you're thinking, I'm totally doing something wrong. I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing.
Well, that was just, that was this one thing, like, you talk about stuff like that, experiencing stuff like that. There was a kid who lived behind, in the house behind mine, and he was just he was a year older than me, a grade ahead, and a friend of his lived across the street from him. And they did, and then they used to like corner me somewhere because they were bigger than me because they were a little older than me or whatever. And there was two of them and they used to corner me and make me show them my penis.
That's hot though.
And you know, but to me, I was kind of terrified of the whole thing. And I remember sometimes he'd knock me down, like try to wrestle. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm on the bottom. It doesn't feel so bad under here. But they would do that or whatever. But I had a lot of anxiety about that. Like, I don't want to go out in the yard if I think he's home from school. And I don't want to get cornered like that. I had a lot of anxiety.
You just sat in the yard all day.
No, like, I was.
Hey, fellas.
Right, with my pants off.
What a penis.
But yeah, it was the thing. Well, the funny thing now is that one of them owns their own construction business. The other one's a cop. They both have families and kids and stuff like that. It's really kind of nutty. Yeah. But that was like a gay anxiety thing for me. As far as that, you know,
I think that's mostly about power. I mean, it's not surprising that one of them owns a company and the other one's a cop because clearly both of them were all about power and
control issues. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's, I don't know. I mean, I find, like, because sometimes I allow myself to get bogged down in the whys and the hows and the whats of why am I, not only why am I gay, you know, but why do I have an attraction to what I have an attraction to?
Yeah.
What fuels that? Where does it stem from?
That's interesting.
Well, and to me, that could take away all the joy of just existing and being, trying to figure out why you are. And it's almost like, you know, like I want to
like
get out the beakers and the freaking, you know.
But you've been attracted to basically the same kind of thing all your life.
Yeah. Same here.
My tastes in men have changed. Yeah. They've gone all over the place.
Yeah. Well, with me,
I could still do.
With me, I could pull out an easy excuse. My father was pretty much non-existing during my early years of growing up. I grew up in a house with three women. Mm-hmm. My mother was a divorcee who was man crazy, and my sisters were, you know, boy crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you grow up in that. That's your thing. That's an easy excuse, but it's not necessarily true.
Yeah. Well, and I do that same thing. It doesn't hurt. I do the mathematics game. Well, my mom and dad divorced when I was 8, which is totally when you are, you know, coming into your own.
Right.
Dad is a total bearish guy. Wasn't really a big part of my life. That kind of thing. So mm-hmm. what do I look for the moment that I'm starting to become sexually active? Mm-hmm. Authority figure. You know, daddy, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, well, do you outgrow that or do you embrace it and just take it for what it is?
Yeah.
You know, and that's when it's like, God, you know, I just want to be gay. I just want to do this. I don't want
to. Oh, yeah. Honey, you are.
Yeah. I know that. I mean, I'm successfully gay, but I want to just like leave all the what made me or why am I behind and just be instead. Just be. Yeah. And to me, that's like the most difficult part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Don't dream it, be it.
Yeah. 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 No shit.
Well, you can't try to put a thing. You can't try to figure it out.
I mean, it's, yeah. Yeah, you know, and yeah. I know I'm not the only person like that. I mean,
yeah.
All you got to do is go on XTube and fucking realize that. But yeah, I mean, and then, so that's kind of like us knowing, but then like in terms of coming out. For me, well, I came out to myself first.
You pretty much have to.
To the extent
you
that.
Have to.
I knew in my head that I was gay. Mm-hmm. I was going, at this point, the internet was around. I was using a dial-up modem, you know, to type in fat older hairy bear on the search engine.
Paying hourly, too.
Yeah, and I was on the fucking, you know, bear's mailing list and on local BBS, you know.
So, yeah, oh my God, the BBS.
Yeah, the BBS is actually how I met my first partner. Mm-hmm. And it was with him. We were walking in Hillcrest, and that was the first time I said out loud, I'm gay. We were walking along, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm gay. We went to my, you know, when I turned 21, which wasn't too long after that, I think, because I started coming out to everybody when I was 20. And we went to my first gay bar and, you know, and that whole thing. And then you just start becoming more and more comfortable with it and it feels okay. But the first straight person I came out to was my friend Lauren, Lauren Fitzgerald, whose name I will actually say because she is so amazing. She's one of those women where, like, if you were straight, you would have married her, you know, because you're so complimentary and she's so fucking cool. And, we all have one of those. And we were in this bar called the Green Circle Bar, and it was funny because one of my best friends from Bakersfield was there that weekend, and we're listening to freaking jazz, and we're having a great time, and we're dancing, and she goes, and she said something about, like, you know, something that would, like, be taken as, like, maybe a flirtatious remark. And I said, I have something to tell you sometime. And she looks at me like this, you know.
She knows.
And she grabbed me by the arm. She goes, you're going to tell me right now. And we went over. We sat down. I'm like, okay. And she goes, here, have another drink, you know. And then I just said, I go, okay, I'm gay. And she's like, she just lit up like a freaking birthday cake. She was like, that's the coolest thing ever. And then, of course, she had to, like, say one of the reasons why she was so glad was, I've been coming on to you, and you don't do anything, and I'm so happy that you're gay now, because now I know that it's not just
you and not me. Nice.
So, yeah. So that was the first straight person I came out to. And I'll stop there, and you know, you guys say what,
well,
you know.
I mean, for me, it was coming.
So, okay, wait. So we're doing the first person that we.
Yeah, let's do the first person.
Okay,
and then we can do like families and friends and shit.
Yeah.
Well, like the first straight person, first person that you felt like it was like a risk.
Something.
You know, first person who was a big part of your life.
You're putting it out there.
Putting out there.
Interesting. Okay. Well, for me, actually, I think it's because I got really upset when people started calling me like fag and stuff way before I even knew.
Yeah.
You know, well, let me rephrase that, because I didn't know what fag was back in fourth grade, but I knew people were calling me that, and they were calling each other that too. And
yeah, like, oh, totally. Everything is
but,
gay,
right?
You know?
But with me, you know, here I am, this kid who grew up in a foreign country, and I have this English accent at the time.
You were totally Pip from South Park.
I totally was.
Terrence Phillips.
And I'm talking about all these places.
Come, Wendy, let's talk about memories past.
Did you really talk like that?
Oh yeah,
it's a bit wild.
What if they called you a fag?
I know exactly. I mean, I have a cassette of myself when I was younger.
Go away, Pip. You suck. Why don't you get a second of the cock, babe?
Exactly. It's like, come, Wendy, let's talk. Let's frolic in the meadow and talk about memories past.
Get away from me, fag.
So I think, actually, for me, it was a really long time before I could actually say, I am gay.
That's the tough one.
That was a tough one. But people
you
still
can
do.
Suck cock before you can say that.
I mean, because if you're sucking cock, the other person's on board.
I was playing.
You're good with this? Okay.
Yeah, this is just consensual heterosexual sex between two men.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Who did I come out to first? I don't remember. I had a Boy Scout boyfriend in high school. I had a guy that I also played around. I had a fuck buddy in junior high school and high school, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. And then he just was...
So you didn't have, like, any hetero friends that you had to, like, break the seal with?
Or
did just most of your
people... You know what? In high school, though, I didn't really tell them. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of they just sort of picked up on it. I'm like,
was that hair?
In high school, I had the entire...
No.
You had long blonde hair.
Switch flipped. I mean, I wasn't even remotely interested in being out in high school. Oh. Had no interest in it at all.
There were about 5 people that I was kind of out to in high school. But the rest of them, you know, I still had a quote girlfriend end quote that, you know, I went to dances and stuff with and
yeah, things. I played that whole game. I think it was, you know, it wasn't until my libido was just getting the best of me. And then like they had those phone lines. This is before the internet.
Yeah.
They had phone lines that you could call and you could chat talk lines. To guys. Oh, and I did the chat lines. And that was when I really got into it. And I had this friend in New Mexico and we would talk. I mean, I had a phone bill. My freshman summer in college, that was probably about $350.
Well, that was AOL for me because it was you were paying by the hour or whatever. And God forbid you fell asleep at the computer or whatever and woke up like 2 hours later. I was out of work and had like $170
AOL. I had a $280
AOL. Kids don't know how easy they have these days. Well, all you youngsters that are listening right now, holy crap. You don't need any, I mean, your freaking internet connection that you can get anywhere on your iPhone. I mean, you can... You know, it opens up temptation earlier too. I mean, think about it
with anything.
But I think it also makes it easier because you know, for me, it was just the friends that I was around with.
Yeah,
I didn't have that huge wealth of information out there that is the internets and the XTube and all the rest of that to know what's what and things and things.
But don't you think, like, if you were like 15 now, would you be actively looking for sex? Because to me, I was into dads and older guys.
I wasn't.
You know. And then that's like, God, I would totally be predator bait, you know?
Oh, my God,
because it would be consensual as far as I was concerned, because that's what I wanted. I didn't want anybody my own age, you know?
You get to meet Chris Hansen from Dateline. I mean, that would be one thing.
Totally. I could work for them, you know? I'll be the bait, you know? Put me on the end of a fucking fishing lure, and I'll bring the truckers in.
Let me get some lemonade for you.
Because I know, I've talked to a lot of people who had coming out stories, and a lot of them involve truck stops, you know, parks, things like that, when they were young, you know, like 17, 18 holy years shit. Old, wow. Or going to gay bars before they were legal, you know, that kind of thing.
I was 16.
Yeah, and so that whole thing with me is like, guy, you know, I think that's dangerous, you know. Yeah. I don't really think you should be, I don't know, I mean, because kids are sexually active, you know, younger and younger, 14 to 16, but like, I don't know if you're ready to be sexually active that young.
I think you're ready to be sexually active. I think it's better that it's easier for young gay people to get in touch with other young gay people as opposed to doing going out to the bars.
Gay youth groups and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they did when, you know, I was in high school and stuff. I did go to one too. Mm-hmm. But like I said, going to the bars, you're right. That wasn't safe. I was 16, I'm going to the bars, and now they don't have to.
Even the anonymity of the internet, I mean, that's what really, you know, opened me up to be able to explore. Without the internet, I wouldn't have been able to like look and find out that there was such thing as a bear or that there were other gay guys who were also into wrestling or there was whatever. Right. You know what I mean?
So what about you? Who was the first person that you...
It's a long-ish story, but I'll try to make it short. My first gay friend that I made online, well, actually, he called himself bisexual at the time. Now
I did that too.
Now he says he's
full gay.
Dave, you
should talk to me, because you didn't come out till later on.
No.
So you're like Vito, you came out later on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole thing where you know you're gay, and you wonder, should I do something else? I sort of dated a girl. We never did anything together. We went to a couple weddings together, like work weddings and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, you know what, she's a decent girl, she's nice, and we have a good time together, should I consider just sucking it up? Is it the right thing to do? And at this point, I'm in my 20s. I didn't do anything in my teens. No, nothing sexually, men or women. I thought, she's a nice girl. She has a nice family. I get along with her family. You know,
so Jewish. She's a nice girl. She has a nice family.
She does. She was a thing. I got verklempt. I thought about that, but it didn't, you know, but then I got in my head, I thought, you know, I couldn't marry this girl. I didn't want to have sex with her, and I don't want to ruin her life by, you know, whatever, because that's exactly what it'll do. It'll ruin her life.
It's good that you're aware enough to know that you didn't want to go down that road.
Right, but I'm not 15 at this point. I'm 23 or 24.
A lot of men who are 23 or 24.
Right, they still get married.
Get married because they feel all that societal pressure. They're I don't want to bother being gay. It's too much. It's too difficult. It's a hassle. I'm going to be hated. I'm going to have less rights. Well, if I get married, everything is perfect. Everything will work out.
The guy who lost my virginity, who was that way, he came from an Irish Catholic family. He was the youngest of 6. Every one of his brothers and sisters had married before him. And when we met, he got himself... got put in a different place into New Jersey working, moved away from Maryland where his family was, said it was a temporary assignment. It was actually a permanent assignment so that he could explore his gayness and decide what he wanted to do about leaving his wife and his family. And it was tough. Oh, wow. It was hard for him.
It was hard for me too.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I know people right now who are married and who have kids, and yes. I'm literally waiting for them to come to the realization.
And some of them never will. Some of them will stay.
Yeah. I mean, some of them probably, you know, internally they're like, you know what? I love my wife for the person she is. Yeah. I love my kids because they're my kids. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's enough. I don't need sexual gratification. I don't need to have that. And if you know, and they just. And they do without.
And that was the thing with him. With him, he had, I'm telling his coming out story. With him, she was his best friend from college. She was his college roommate, and they were just such good friends. And to him, it just made sense to marry them because they got along. They had that mind melding thing like we all have with someone else in our lives, some woman in our lives. I think everybody does. You guys said you did. You too, Justin, have a woman you sort of mind melded with that you felt like.
I've had at least
deeply a fag hag with. You just had strong, you know, intellectual and emotional connection to.
You never had a girl in high school or anything that you ever just clicked with where everything was just supernatural and easy.
You never had like a girl best friend?
No.
No? Okay. Well, that's
legitimate. Well, I mean, I think Justin was just gay out of the box. You know? he had his deflector shields up. Because, I mean, there was a girl in high school who I would have married.
Yeah.
Bam. No doubt. Mm-hmm. She was amazing.
Yeah. Oh.
And, no. I never.
Yeah.
But we never did anything. We never even went on a date.
No. Right. Yeah. No.
But we clicked so it was just like boom, 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 boom. You know, back and forth.
That's my friend Joanna. Yeah. I mean, in fact,
that's funny because that was my friend and my girlfriend.
I had a friend named Joanna.
My girlfriend in high school was Joanna.
No, I had a friend when I went to college named Cynthia, and we were like that. Like we were.
Well, that's what we're talking about more. You had a girl.
One of the guys that was my fire department. It was his wife. We had a fire department Christmas party, and all the wives came or whatever, and she and I ended up sitting at the bar picking on all the rookies' girlfriends and what drunks they were and how they were, like, doing whippets from the thing.
Oh, God.
And from then on, like, we were, like, really good friends. It was great to see them at Christmas and stuff like that, but she was, like, my thing. And then she was staying away at college, and I went and visited her at college one weekend alone and stuff like that, and apparently her boyfriend's parents, who she's now married to, were, like, really worried. And then I saw his mother once. She goes, you know, we were worried at one point about how close you and Joanne were getting, and we finally realized you two were more like soulmates than anything. Because, you know, because they were afraid that I was coming.
No, we're sisters.
And I said, that's what I said.
Soulmate
I said,
is the Christian word for sister.
I said, more like sisters, really, Bev. It was hilarious. But anyway. Yeah. Though as far as coming out is concerned, I had a friend that I had met on AOL, and he lived in a neighboring town. He was bisexual at the time. Yeah, me too. Yeah,
everybody does that for about 2 weeks.
Wait, so this is the first person that you
came out to? Well, no, he's not the first person I came out to, because that's an online thing, and I already knew he was gay, so there wasn't really risking anything there. But he and I hung out a lot, and we talked a lot about emotions and feelings. We never had sex or did anything together. We're not each other's types. We just hung out in New York. This is the first time I've seen him in 2 years. We had a great time at the Dugout and stuff in New York. But so we'd always see things, but it was this sort of gay thing. I was living at home with my mom still, and it was sort of this gay thing that I didn't want it to cross over, and I didn't talk about him much, but he called on the phone, like we were going to go out, it was before cell phones, and he called on the phone and said, oh, I'm coming over, okay. So my mother had answered the phone and gotten him and talked to him on the phone, but never met him. He never came in the house. I always went out to meet him or went outside to meet him or whatever. Yeah. And my mother had never met him because I thought, not that he was effeminate or he would have tipped anybody off or anything like that.
It's just that kind of thing.
I don't want to cross that line. So fast forward to, 2 or 3 years after I knew him, my mom has a really bad accident at work. She had to get, 40 stitches in her head, and she's in the hospital, and she's covered with blood, and she's, the thing, she's really upset. So I go to the hospital, and I'm there alone. It's the same town where my friend lives, and my one sister lived in Michigan at the time, so she couldn't come out. My other sister had a newborn baby, so she couldn't come out. I'm at the hospital alone. I'm a nervous wreck, because I think my mother's going to die, because she's lost so much blood, and they thought she was going to, too. So it was really, really upsetting or whatever. I don't know what to do. I thought, I can't sit here alone. I'm really upset. I don't want to be alone. So I called Sean. I said, listen, do me a favor. Can you come over here and just sit with me? Because I'm a nervous wreck. I don't know what's going to happen with my mom. They won't let me see her. They're bringing her to surgery, blah, blah. So he came and he sat with me. Well, they ended up doing a minor surgery on her, and they brought her back into the room or whatever. And I said, oh, you can go in and see her now or whatever. So Sean comes with me. And so my mom, I was like, oh, by the way, this is Sean. She's like, oh, Sean, so nice to finally meet you and blah, blah, blah. And she had suspected that we were a couple and that was, I was having. So, blah, blah, blah. And just she finally meets Sean, whatever. Great. So it's like 2 days later, I'm driving her home from the hospital, and we stop at the traffic light, and I can picture exactly where it is. Anybody from New Jersey, it's Easton Avenue at JFK Boulevard. We stop at the light right by the diner there. And my mother turns to me and goes, "So, do you love Sean?" And I'm just like my heart sank. And I was like, what do I do? And I'm like, okay, my mother's policy growing up was if you were mature enough to ask, you were mature enough to get an answer. So I'm like, okay, if she's brave enough to ask, she's brave enough to hear the answer. And I just turned to her and I said, no, I don't love Sean, but I'm capable of loving a man in that way.
But I love
cock. No, I didn't say that. I said, but I'm capable of loving a man in that way. And it just went from there. And then, it was my mom. I mean, she actually asked me. And then from there, it just, you know, it spread throughout my family.
So there you go. And parents suspect. And stuff. Good for her.
Parents do suspect. For me, my, the first person, I didn't actually come out to her. She drugged me out.
Kind of like my mom did, right.
And, that was my sister.
Oh, okay.
She followed me around for a good month.
You're kidding.
Every day, didn't matter what I was doing. I'd be, you know, doing something in the living room. She'd walk by and she'd push on me and just be like, "You're gay." And I'm like, what? Shut up. I'm like, I'm not gay. And then she'd like be like, "You're gay." And she'd walk away. And she'd be like, "You're gay. Just tell me. You're gay. Just say
what
it."
What is this? Oh,
and like,
she finds
that porn. She did that for like a month.
She had something on you.
No, she knew.
I think she had something.
You know what?
No.
I've met his sister. Yeah. Those two, they're like. Right. Yeah,
no,
like,
what's her age at this point compared to your age?
She's 3 years younger than me.
Okay, but you're how old at this point?
I was 17.
And she's younger than you.
Yeah.
She's 14 and
yeah,
she's doing 14. This.
And she's like, "You're gay. You're gay."
Funny.
And so I was like, "Sharice, knock it off." You know, and like we're just kind of going back and forth. And then finally, like I just after a month of her doing this, I just got so frustrated. Finally, I was just like, "Fine, I'm gay. Are you happy now?" She goes, "Yeah, I just wanted you to say it."
And then she
walks away. And then she comes back the next day and she's like, "So is your boyfriend?" And she
starts doing this
thing. And I'm just like, I'm done with you. So
funny.
So she's actually the first person that I came out to and the first person that I told who my boyfriend was.
Have you talked about it since with her and about like why she thought that or anything?
Well, I don't know. She question. Was just, she, yeah. No, we never really did. She just... No. She was like, I knew you were, and that was it. She's like, I just wanted you to say it so you would, you know.
How funny. And she's younger than you at this point, which is nutty.
But she's never acted younger. She's everybody usually thinks she's older than me.
Oh, okay.
Like, just, she's always been very
mature.
Astute, mature.
Yeah.
Good. It's funny how it comes out.
But, and then when I was, I'll just cycle right into the rest of it. But, when I was 18 is when I actually, I you know, my first year of college, was actually started college when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So my second year in college, I went to a I had taken human sexuality, and ooh, the teacher there also had a subgroup, like a gay and lesbian group on the campus. Ooh. So I went to that and started hanging out with some people and stuff like that.
See, you have an advantage when you're away from home,
and
right?
So because no, this was I was still living at home.
Oh, really?
I was still living at home and everything. And, so, you know, the more I got to like hang out with other gay people, this is my first actual, you know, other than my boyfriend that I had when I was 16, 17, up until 18 is when we kind of started, you know, we never really broke up. We just kind of faded apart.
Okay.
Like, because he was younger than me. So he was still in high school. I was in college. So we just kind of drifted apart and kind of went our separate ways.
People.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, So you know, being around other gay people and then like hearing their coming out stories and, you know, some of these people came out and got kicked out of their houses you know, and so I was just really like, oh my God, okay, this is something I really want to do, but I'm not sure. And so at the time I was living with my grandfather still, and I knew I wasn't going to come out to my grandfather. Like there was just no way because he was so ultra conservative,
generational.
Just so that's him. I'm never gonna change him. So I didn't want him to know. But I wanted to come out to my dad and my stepmom and like some other people that were still around in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember my dad actually came to pick me up from. I was gonna stay the weekend with him, and he came and he picked me up in his car. My stepmom was with him, and I'm sitting in the back seat, and I'm just like, "Hey guys, I have something I want to talk to you about," you know, and they're like,
and you're like, I want to go to In-N-Out,
and they're like, okay, you know,
and you're whatever. 18,
and so I'm 18, and
I like
so,
turtles,
and I was like, yeah, pretty much, and it was just kind of like, you know, but here it is. And my dad just looks at me and he goes, I knew that's what you were going to say. He's like, because you're taking that course.
Oh.
The human sexuality course.
Taking that fake course.
He goes, I knew that. And then he just looks at me and he goes, just make sure it's a guy. Like, that's the only thing he said. It was like, he said, just make sure it's like a guy and not like a girly guy. Like, that was his only thing. Yeah. And cool. I was like, don't worry, that's what I like. But then later on, I found out that he's actually bi.
Your dad?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if I can handle that. Wow. If my dad said that, I'd probably fucking jump out of window.
No, he never actually told me. I found out because then as I was coming out to my family, I came out in like little groups to my family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's what
I came out to my dad, then I came out to my cousins, then I came out to my uncle, and you know, yada yada. Well, when my one uncle got wind of it, like I was actually at his house. My little cousins had gone to bed and we're sitting there and we're like watching TV and pull out couches out and stuff. And his most casual way to ask me was like, are you a fag?
That's awesome.
Yes. That really makes me want to come out to you right now, you know? Nice. So I lost my point. Where
so
I
you said, yes,
this.
I am.
And
then
so,
you said,
yeah,
your dad's a
so
fag
then it was
too.
Just like, he was like, oh, that makes sense. He's all, cause I caught your dad making out with his friend Jim one time on the couch because they used to be roommates. And I was like,
that's awesome.
No, and I was just like,
that's a horrible
thing.
No.
And this is the best part, though, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, that explains a whole situation that me and my sister have been trying to figure out for years.
Oh, really?
Because we never lived with our dad.
Uh-huh.
So we were visiting our dad one weekend. And we went out to his friend Jim's place, which was, like, out on this, like, ranch.
The same gym that he made out
the
with?
The same gym that he made out with.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Fucking Brokeback Mountain.
Get out of my head. I was just going to say that. I swear to God. Was he a combine salesman?
The
no.
Freaking soundtrack
was he the best combine salesman?
So get this. So we go out to his place, right? And we're playing with his. We're on this, like, big ranch, like, thing out, like, King, like, not Kingsburg.
I don't know.
Like, anyway, out in that, you should know the area.
I don't know what fucking Kingsburg is. What are you talking about?
By Bakersfield.
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, so it was, like, out in the, like, by the Kings River out there, like, somewhere on this ranch thing.
Uh-huh. I don't know where the gay ranchers live.
And there's, like, where gay ranchers live. And there's, like, this, you know, this barn, like, the whole setup. It's just big, big ranch.
Uh-huh.
And so we're sitting there, and, like, we're inside the house with him and my dad, and, like, his dogs are running around, and we're playing with the dogs. And my dad's like, hey, why don't you guys go play? And we're like, no, we just want to do it.
No,
like,
really.
No, go play.
Daddy wants to fuck.
Yeah. And we were like, and at first
sounds
we were like
they're jumping on the bed.
So then we leave the house, and I look at my sister, and we're like, they're going to smoke pot. Because, like, they didn't think that we knew, right?
They were smoke each other?
Yeah, they weren't smoking pot. I'm sure they were smoking something, but nice. Smoking some pole.
How old were you and your sister?
We were young. I was like, my sister was like 8.
So that would make you 12.
So I was like 12.
Your dad totally did Brokeback Mountain.
He did.
That's my God.
That's amazing.
Do you know how to quit him? I mean, what?
Wow. Well, he didn't.
And then what's funny is because
then your kids out there.
Well,
nutty.
Well, you do something with them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, we went off and played in the ravine and stuff, which
go play the ravine. I mean,
stairs and queers at this ranch. No.
And then we picked up some Indian clay, quote unquote, that we thought was Indian clay.
Of course, kids do that all the time.
And we're like, oh, look, it's this red Indian clay. We shoved all this bags full of this stuff because we were building stuff with it. Mm-hmm. We're driving back from the place, and my dad's like, what is that smell? And we're like,
shit?
What? And we're like.
Oh,
he's
no.
like, it smells like shit.
Oh, no.
And we're like, why we put Indian clay in the bag in the trunk?
Oh,
and he's like,
bags of shit?
He's like, Indian clay? And he's like, there's no Indian clay out here. And we're like, we found, like, there's a whole bunch of it in the field.
It's all,
like,
it's all got hay in it.
It was like, it was like freaking horse manure. And we just, like, piled bags full of it.
Hey.
And
oh, my God.
Well, that's the hazards of coming out. Like, finding out your dad is gay.
But, yeah, so anyway, so you know, nice. So like, you know, it was really crazy. And then my sister's bi. So it's just kind of like.
Do you have gays all over? See, my family is like, there's
an aisle.
Well, I mean, anyway, I'm not going to get too much into the family stuff, but I will say that, like, I had a similar experience with my mom. We were driving down the 5 towards Bakersfield, down the other side of the Grapevine.
Yeah.
And she said something about, well, one day when you're married, you'll understand. And this is after I had already come out to Lauren, you know, and I was like, okay, game on, you know, pit in the stomach, the whole bad feeling, everything. And I just said, Mom, that's not ever going to happen because I'm gay. And I'm driving a car at the time.
At least she wasn't driving. That would have been worse.
And she goes, you know what? I think I always knew. And it was just like that whole kind of thing. And the weird part, of course, was when we got home and I said, so are you doing okay? And she goes, well, I go, she goes, I feel like I'm having a nightmare and I can't wake up. And I'm like, ugh, that's exactly what I want to hear. But then I've said this before where it's like, it took me, you know, 15, 20 years to be comfortable. I didn't expect her to be okay in a day.
And that was a point, too, you talk about when you're comfortable with it, admitting it to yourself. That was one thing that, like, some of my friends who I came out to were like, they were actually, like, glad to know it. But they said, you know what? I'm a little disappointed that you felt like you couldn't trust me with that information.
Really? Yeah.
And my point to them always was, you know what? I had to learn to accept myself before I could learn to help you guys accept me. You know?
I have a story like that, too. And I keep thinking, I think you guys have, I've told you guys a story before, but I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, was that when I was young, my friends and I all decided to experiment with drugs. And and we used we did mushrooms.
Oh boy.
And
I didn't know you did shrooms.
Oh yeah, okay. Grace is on podcast now. I'm never get hired again, I'll never get a job.
Oh my God, I'm uncomfortable.
I was young. And two of my friends had done it before, and they were like, oh, we're all going to do this. This should be so much fun. And, you know, we're going to do this at so-and-so's house, and it's great because his parents are in LA and this and that. So there was like two of my best friends in the entire universe and some other friends, and we all did him. And it was one of those things where it seems like it's really great at first, and then we had taken too much, and it got really crazy. And the guy that had brought him over, like, sat with me, and apparently, like, I came out to him there while we were talking.
Oh, my God.
And he left because he couldn't handle it. And at the same time, as I was freaking, you know,
how old
gone. Oh, I was like 19, 18.
Okay.
And I came on to one of my good friends from high school. Came on to him. Repeatedly.
And would you have come on to him sober?
Well, I don't know. Because I don't remember a lot of what happened. And this all leads to the eventual part of the story. I was coming on to him repeatedly. And they had to keep kind of pulling me away from him and stuff. And long story short, that evening ended with me coming kind of back into my own in the passenger seat of my mom's car. She was driving me to the hospital because my friends were so worried because I was like gone. I told them we did way too much. And I'd never done drugs before.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was going to be like. And I will say, at moments, it was the most amazing thing I've ever done in my life. At other moments, I literally thought I was in hell.
Terrified.
It was crazy.
Well, did your mother know what was going on?
Oh, yeah. My mom knew what was going on. Oh, and, you know, my mom was always super cool. She's just like, basically, this is your get-out-of-jail-free card. Mm-hmm. I love your friends, but here's the deal. They have to tell their parents exactly what happened, you know, and I'm not, you know. She had, like, certain conditions that had to be met in order to not, like, castrate me and throw me into a pit. You know? So anyway, that's not even the coolest part of the story. The part of the story is, like, the next day, you know, fucking it was like a Saturday, and the next day we went to church, you know, and and I caught up with my friends, and they're like, is everything, you know, cool? And I'm like, everything's totally cool, I'm okay, everything's fine, that whole thing. So fast forward to I'm 21, and I decided to come out to I've already come out to all my family, and everybody's really cool. And, you know, dad basically said, if you hadn't told us, we were going to ask anyway, because we were curious, that whole thing. And I tell my friend Rick, and that same day I tell my friend James and then my other friend, and we're sitting there, and it's Rick and James. These are the two most amazing friends I'll probably ever have in my life. We're sitting there, and I go, and they go, well, we kind of know. We've known all along, because when we all did drugs that night, you were coming on to one of our friends over and over again.
Oh, no.
And I was like, and I had no idea. I had no recollection of this at all. And they're like, oh yeah, you did. And we just felt like when you were ready, you would tell us. And it wasn't really important to us either way, because we love you.
And we were like, you don't know that. Awesome. It may have been just the mushrooms making me gay. Mushrooms.
The coolest part is, though,
gay
dude,
for mushrooms.
These are guys that when they were like, guys were 18, 19, 20 years old.
And they kept that.
And they were just like, you know what? Brian, we love him. He's our friend. And when he's ready to tell us, he will. And he might not ever tell us. And when I did, they were just like, it's all good, you know.
Well, that was the nice thing about all my friends too, because they were like, you know, they were actually glad to know, because they all suspected, and they were like, now we can see another side of you and talk about things, you know.
Well, and that's what it was too, and that's what I kept telling to when I told people, when I came out to them, I said, because you've only known a portion of me, and now you know me, you really know me,
right.
And God, the weight that comes off your shoulders when you have that, and you're like, God, I am actually, you know, and I still, especially when you're talking about being called fag, like at school and that kind of thing, I still had to deal with a workplace situation. This is when I worked, when I managed a video arcade, where I had employees that would call each other fag, and it was an insult, and nobody knew, there's no way I was going to be out there.
No, yeah.
It wasn't until I had my first job, and when I came out there, and now, of course, in my job now, I'm totally open, and, it's so freeing, you know. There's still a part of me that thinks, I wonder if I'm ever treated differently. You know, if there's, you know, what's being said when I'm not around, what decisions are being made because I'm gay. But then I'm like, fuck that. I mean, I'm never going to not be out again.
Well, that was a concern with about the guys at the firehouse, too, because I was afraid that they were, I was coming to the end of my fire department stuff when I was doing that, when I came out anyway. Was like, I thought about, well, what are they saying behind my back? Because everybody was okay, you know, to my face, because they all knew me. They had known me for 7 years at that point, and it was just like,
I think the only job I might have where I'd stay in the closet was maybe like if I was a professional football player, because I don't want my legs fucking broken. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. I understand why those guys are in the closet.
Like, for me, as far as like the work situation goes, I didn't come out at a job until I moved here. Because back home, I worked in a parts department for this, you know, huge, and, like, automobile corporation.
And people know people, too.
They're like, yeah, and they're just, they're total redneck, like, hit guys, and they were just always like, oh, you know, all gays should get AIDS and die, and, you know, all this stuff, you know. Oh, being gay is just like being a murderer, and like all this stuff. Like,
Mike goes through that at work, too.
All this like weird stuff.
A lot of conservative people there, you know what I mean? School teacher type people there being very conservative and making a lot of stuff.
And it does that same thing. I mean, it still doesn't take away that feeling you get when someone who doesn't think that you're gay or doesn't know that you're gay makes some sort of generalized statement.
Yeah.
And then then you're in that whole position, well, what do I do now? I mean, well, do I go like, well, listen here, Smarty. Right, exactly.
Well, do you think that coming out to some people that maybe didn't know change their opinions about gay people, like when they realize, oh my gosh, Brian's gay, he could be gay and kind of normal, you know?
No, I've actually had people, JP will never be normal, but I've actually had people, you know, say that, like, you know, and then like when they met me and my friends too.
Yeah.
Well, I think it immediately makes them, I mean, like in the case of my grandparents, like in my family, I didn't come out to the men in my family except for my Uncle Bill, because he's like my brother, but
Hot Uncle Bill.
Yeah. I came out to the women. I came out to my grandmother, my mom, and my aunt, and of course my dad too. But when I came out to my grandmother, I said, okay, well, you know, I'm gay, and she said, I know, and you know, and your grandfather knows. In fact, this is another one of those fucking grab your hanky moments.
Yeah.
She's like, I was sitting in bed with your grandfather a couple of weeks ago, and he said to me, do you think Brian might be gay? And I said, well, I think, yeah, he might be. And she goes, what do you think about that? And he goes, well, I love Brian, and I don't care if he is or not, you know. And of course my grandmother tells me that, and I'm just like tears down my face and the whole thing. But I think that allows them at the same time to be like champions.
More accepting.
Because now if somebody does challenge that, they can be like, my son is, or my grandson is gay, my son is gay, my cousin is gay, my sister's gay, whatever. And they can say, fuck you. You know, someone I love is gay.
That was the way it was.
And someone you love is probably gay too.
Yeah. So. That was the way it was with my dad. It was kind of it almost seemed like a don't ask, don't tell kind of a thing. And then at one point, after I had met my big time ex, the one I was with for 9 years, during the first year, and he was coming to the thing a lot. And my, you know, so I, of course, I introduced him to my family and stuff like that. He was coming to New Jersey a lot. And at some point during that year, my stepmother said to me, you know, your dad knows what's going on, and just so you know, everything's okay. He's so glad to see you happy. And that's the point. And I said, well, that's great. And then I knew the first Christmas there were gifts from my ex under the tree with the rest of the family's gifts. And it was like, okay, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so my dad and I never really talked about, you know, the whole gay thing or anything like that, but it was understood and they really cared about my ex a lot. That was, and stuff.
Yeah, you get a lot of that too. I mean, I would think, I mean, my parents don't like, well, my dad and his wife are always asking me and bringing up the gay thing. But my other side of the family isn't necessarily doing that. And, you know, but I don't bring up their heterosexuality a lot either. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right. No. Right.
I will say, though.
But you're more intriguing being a gay person. Well, on
that
side,
but with that side of the family, my mom's side of the family, I still sometimes feel like there's a separation there a little bit. Like, it'll never be what it was.
Right.
I think because my worldview is just so, I just feel like different, you know. And on my dad's side of the family, I really do feel like it's 100%. Like, yeah. You know. Well, and that's probably just me.
That's my mom's side of the family, too. They're Southern Baptists. And but yeah. Still, they're not. I feel they you know, they really receive me and receive my ex in extremely well, but you have to wonder if they're really.
Well, it's exciting to know someone who's going to go to hell.
Well, it's true.
A little taboo. You know.
That's, you know, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's definitely going.
Well, see, my family is mostly Protestant, mostly Presbyterian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, like, just about everything else. Well, it's there, but you don't talk about it.
And you're out to your family.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah. Well, and actually how it happened is that I had a roommate at the time who was extremely flamboyant. Mm-hmm. And my mom and he went out to dinner one night without me.
Oh, my God. How odd is that? Is he like Misash Taylor from Mannequin? Oh. Or something?
Nelly,
what was his name in that?
No, the guy Nelly from...
Nelly fucking Queen.
Who was the guy Billy from... I know Misek Taylor. I was talking about the guy from Too Close for Comfort.
Oh, Monroe, who I keep seeing everywhere.
He's in L.A. a lot.
He was here for Pride. I saw him in L.A. Pride. I'm like, okay, he's like reverse stalking.
Jim J. Bullock.
I keep seeing him.
What was the guy's name
funny.
On Too Close for Comfort? Mr. Whatever, they always say.
The father?
No, Mr.
The dad?
The dad.
Oh,
Ted Knight played.
Ted Knight's character.
Yeah.
Mr. Roth or whatever. I don't know what he used to say.
Was it Ross?
I can't remember. Right. Oh, that's going to make me crazy.
Anyway, they go out to dinner. They come back. I'm there with my friend, Tony.
Wait, what was the situation? They were going to dinner together without you.
Because I don't he was going to tell her JB's business.
Exactly. They come back.
And you're like, girl.
And blah, blah, blah.
I got a story to tell you about your son, his rat tail.
I know. They come back and mom goes, I know. And that was pretty much it. She just goes, I know.
Were you kind of? Were you kind of?
And I was like, well, but I was confronted with this, and I wasn't at all ready for it. I didn't have. I wasn't built up for that whole thing.
Right.
You know, here and so for me, all of a sudden, in my mind, I'm like, you know, my eyes are blinking like a deer in the headlights, kind of thing. Okay. And I'm like,
stop the car.
Well, maybe I want to have kids or something, so I'm not, you know. And they all kind
of
laugh.
Well, you felt the warmth of a woman, so.
Well, you know what's...
I did not fuck her.
Even do we have to bring that up every single time
fingered.
We do a podcast?
We're
bring
gold
that up.
Star gays. Like, we have some kind of...
It's an interesting point that you bring up because at one point my uncle's ex-wife asked me if I was gay, point blank.
Yeah.
And at the time, I wasn't comfortable with myself. I wasn't, you know, there. And I said...
And you're not ready for
And I literally said, I don't think I am.
The cock blew twice.
You know, I said, I don't think I am.
You denied yourself.
And no, I think what's important, and this is for people who are listening, because I'm sure there are people who are listening who aren't out, you know. Yeah. You know, and it's like, I really think, don't come out until you are ready.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying, like, don't pretend to be straight, because that's pretending to be straight thing. I don't think that's very healthy. Just be yourself. And when you're comfortable with yourself, then that's the time. And if somebody asks you, don't feel pressured that you have to say yes or no.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
you can say, I don't know.
And as pretty much, well, as good as our stories all went or whatever, I mean, I know several people who have.
Really bad.
I mean, a friend of mine was kicked out of his house when he was like 16, and he went and ended up, you know, like living on the streets and then joining the Air Force just to have some place to go and denying the whole thing. Yeah. And now he's, I don't know, somewhere in Maine trying to restore his foreskin.
Well,
it's just a nightmare.
I mean, what's good, though, is that there's so many support groups now, so that if you were, you know, kicked out, you could probably get a support system. Right. And plus, you know, like we were just saying, with the internet, most gay kids probably have like 20 or 40 friends that they can MySpace or Facebook their way.
It's an unfair advantage. There's a certain level of anonymity. If it weren't for the internet, God, I'd probably still be in the closet because there's a certain level of anonymity that just gives you the freedom to talk and say whatever you want because I'm just a face talking to some guy in the middle of nowhere.
Not for me. For me, it was, you know, being on the internet was more about finding that there are a whole ton of other people about
me. Like, that there were other guys that like chubby, fat, hairy men. You know?
But see, I wasn't chubby, fat, or hairy at that. Well, I was hairy.
You're chasing.
See, I'm a bear out of the box. Never been anything but. Mm. You know, always liked bears. Always have been a big guy. And
well, that was the one thing I had written it. I wish I should have brought a piece of it with me anyway. But it was pre-blogging days. I had a website, and I used to write these stories. And the one story was the first time I like went to a gay pride parade. I was like sitting at home on a Sunday morning, and I was like, "Oh, what should I?" You know, they're showing like the preparations for the gay pride parade on the news. And I was like, "Ooh, what should I do?" And I'm like, you know, in 10 minutes, I had my backpack and I was on a train into the city to go to the Pride Parade alone and stood there on the corner in a nervous wreck. And a guy stepped out of the crowd from the Metro Bears and handed me a brochure. And I was like,
woof, woof, big boy.
I was like, okay, thanks. Like, what does this mean? You know, whatever. And I looked through it or whatever. And in the story that I wrote about it afterwards, I wrote, you know, they seem like they're furry, friendly, and fun. So maybe I'll check them out. And I never
liked the fuck a lot.
I never had the nerve to. So.
Hmm.
But,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, anybody else? Did you get a chance to talk Justin, about what you about your coming out?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Everything else.
Were you there?
Oh, I was here. Oh, I was making sure everybody had a chance to say what they wanted to say.
I have a funny point that I wanted to make while you were talking, Brian, actually, because you said that about your father having Playboy. Playboy? Right? I found, actually, one of my mother had a Playgirl under her mattress.
Now, that's a score.
And in the Playgirl, yeah, I had to look up his name because I didn't remember it, it was a spread of Peter Lupus. He was on Mission Impossible, the television series, and he was, which was still before my time, I guess it was out in the 60s or something, and maybe early 70s, but he was a stallion of a man. He was hairy, and he was hung like it was like a toddler's leg.
Wow.
Huge. Nice. And since, and the pictures are available on the internet, I've actually looked them up since then to see if, like, was it as big as I remembered, and the guy is hung like a horse, and he was just muscly and furry and beautiful.
Well, that's funny, because you say that, and it makes me, reminds me of, in our bathroom, when I was like 5 or 6 years old, we had wallpaper, and it was like this 70s, like
was it the naked chicks playing sports?
No. Remember, this is a minister's house.
Oh,
but my mom and dad were kind of funky 70s, you know, hippie type, you know, Godspell Christians, and so the wallpaper was Adam and Eve, but in this very cartoony, like, hourglass figure, you know. Basic, and they had little fig leaves, and I remember that. And
your father had Adam and Eve
showed her boobs. Yeah, and her boobs were there, but her boobs were just like circles, you know, circles with nipples. It's really weird. I told you, anyway, there's a whole other story. We'll never get on the podcast.
You gotta somehow find like a picture of this of what it looks like. I cannot imagine,
because I can remember looking at that as a kid too. And then my dad, and I think I have posted this.
Adam.
Posted this on my Flickr because I found it. There's an old timey photo of like a bearish guy. In a wood basin, wood bathtub, scrubbing his back with his leg up in the air, and he's all furry, and there's soap and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, one of those old-timey photos.
Like bathtub.
And that was in our bathroom, too. And oh my god, I mean, that was bear porn. I mean, I had bear, maybe that, you know, that's where I was bear out of the box because I had all this bear shit around me.
It was,
you know,
like the perfect storm to make Brian gay, right?
Totally.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Holy cow. Well,
that's her coming out. I mean, I hope, you know, we had a couple people ask us to do this, and we've been wanting to do this since the first day.
Yeah,
we were
hoping
to do this when all of us were together, but we're just, we know now that Vito won't be around through January
or something,
so we're just gonna, you know, we just decided we didn't want to put it off any longer. Let's see. There's a couple other things that had to do with the LiveJournal account and people making suggestions, because a lot of people have suggested topics to me recently, and I just want to say thanks to that. And we are going to start, you know, getting to those topics. And even Dave and I tonight came up with a couple of things that we really want to talk about. So
So
we can do our tugs. And if I don't know. I mean, on the Live Journal, when I do the write up on this, you know, if you have a coming out story that you want to share, you know, feel free to comment it to the post or
definitely,
you know, again, I mean, I think I'm hoping that, you know, initially the people who are listening to this are bearish guys, but I'm kind of hoping, you know, we know that there's some straight folks that are listening, which is great. And I'm hoping maybe there's some younger kids, you know, they're, you know, maybe in their late teens or whatever, and maybe they're listening to this and they like bears, but they don't have any facial hair yet, you know, and they're in their bedrooms, you know, and
or it doesn't even have to be bears. I mean,
you know,
my boyfriend was a total bear. At 15, he had goatee and hairy chest.
And that's true. You don't have to be a bear to listen to the 619 Bear Cast.
No, you don't.
Non-exclusionary. Right.
Yes. But I'm just saying they could. I was just saying that they could.
Right.
Already.
Right. Well, there was. he's on Bear City. There's some little kid. Dude, he looks so young. I think he's like 20 or 19. And he's on Bear City, and he can't even grow facial hair yet, you know, but he's just like, I guess he digs bears, and I'm like, God, that's so awesome.
Is that Iman from Newfoundland? He's the one I was talking to. I actually gave him tugs a few weeks ago. He's a slender guy, and he's kind of a younger guy.
No, this is a little chubby boy.
And he's
a little chubby boy.
He's not at all bear, but he's totally into the bears, and he's actually moving to, I want to say Toronto, from Newfoundland. To like live in the city, and his family
is full of gays
or something like that. I think it's Toronto. Excuse me for being mistaken about this, but he's actually getting a lot of flack for his family from wanting to move away from where his whole family is to the big city. But he really is at the point where he's like, you know, I've
got to
explore myself and stuff. And
well, we should do our tugs.
Tugs,
we should get this going.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to give a tug to my buddy Cliff, who I went to go visit in Palm Springs. He is a quality guy. He'll probably never hear this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I like him. And also to Michael, and I'll give his last initial, M. Michael, you know who you are because you've written me on Facebook. Because I think, I guess, I apparently I said that Dave Cobb was not a fan of Hannah Montana, which I can't believe I said that because Dave Cobb is a total fan of Hannah Montana.
Oh, yeah.
But Michael sent me a note and he also gave me the real name of the restaurant that Tranny Cakes is at, and I can't remember what it is now. I could go look, but we don't need to do that. Anyway, so Michael, thank you. This is Michael in L.A., and he's a really interesting guy. He has a great blog, and he's very candid with his thoughts and opinions and stuff. And he was actually at Popstars with us, too. So, cool. Anyway, that's my tugs. Tugs to Michael and Cliff.
Cool.
Go ahead.
I actually don't have any this week. I don't.
Not even off the top of your head. It's just nobody.
Mm-mm. Well, I have three.
Everybody that I was hanging out with, like, pure.
And no need to do repetitive tugs, I suppose.
No.
Even though it is Dave Cobb's birthday coming up, so.
Yeah.
I have three, actually, tugs to. One is a guy called Jared. He's 26 years old. He's from Santa Barbara area. And he messaged me through the website, and through Bear City, and said he's been listening to the podcast, and it's great. And while we're talking, he made the connection that the Pinner's World website that I've been doing years ago, I started in, 1997, pictures of hairy guys and wrestling pictures. Yeah.
Oh,
it was called Pinner's Hairy Peck and Wrestling Page, and now it's pinnersworld.com. Anyway, I'm not pimping myself because it hasn't been updated in, 2.5 years, so it's grossly overdue.
King for a Day versus pinnersworld.net.
So anyway.
toe-to-toe.
So anyway. No, it was not that kind of a thing. But he, from years back, apparently, when he was a teenager, had found the original website and stuff like that in the pictures. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're that same guy. I used to go to that website all the time. It was my spot for going to porn and jerking off. He's like, oh, my God. So it was funny for him that now at 26, he found me on the thing and he's been listening to the podcast. So I wanted to give Jared some tugs.
That's cool.
The other one, one of the other ones is Chris, who's actually Bum Cub on Flickr. I don't know if any of you guys know him. He's from the UK. He apparently just moved back to the UK mainland, and he said in his message that he had spent New Year's Eve alone for the first time, and it's freezing cold there.
Oh, yeah. I remember you
and, I forwarded that, and he said that we kept him company on New Year's Eve because he listened to a bunch of our podcasts and stuff like that. So it was really nice. Thanks, Chris. He's always coming. He's coming on the photos. Well, he actually hadn't been commenting for a while. I guess he was moving and stuff, and so hopefully be coming on our photos and stuff again. So very cool, Chris. The other one is Dan, who just sent, who's from Maryland, I believe, who Megadeus or something, I think his name is. He's a World of Warcraft guy and says he'd love to play World of Warcraft with you guys. I don't know if any of you are still playing, but you are.
I am still.
Okay, so you'll have to hook up with JP on that one. And he also
Drendan server.
And he also said Alliance. That to compliment us, in quotes, he said, one of his last thing was that Brian, Vito, and JP are totally hot, leaving out Justin and I. So I guess he likes the older looking guys. So can I say
don't be afraid to point out exactly who you think is hot.
This is good, especially if it's Brian.
Especially if it's me. Yeah.
So those are my tags: Jared, Chris, and Dan. And so you might want to hook up with him and play WoW because he thinks you're hot, JP. So,
awesome. We're Drendan server. I'm playing Alliance for now. Okay, and my tugs are basically the New Year's Eve party. It was Michael Carrera for DJing, doing an awesome job DJing the entire time.
Henry
and Steve, and Mike. Whose house was that?
It was Mike Dasher's house.
Dasher, I can never remember his last name. Dasher. Like yeah, France on Dasher
Dixon, something right? Sir. Dasher
like on Dixon. Bro on Pussycat.
Oh jeez.
Jockstrap. Yeah. So that was it. My tugs to those guys. Awesome.
We didn't sing while he was doing his tugs. What's the matter with us?
I'm worn out, man. It's tired. Just so everybody knows, we started an hour and a half late. So
yeah. So we're all late.
And I was killing zombies earlier, and it got me all pumped up. So.
All right. Well.
So that's it. This is JP.
Goodbye, bye, JP. And this is Brian.
Bye, Brian. This is Justin.
Bye, Justin.
This is Dave.
Bye, Dave.
For Vito and all of us. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, episode 12.
Goodbye, everyone.